PIT Files, the Ultimate Steelers Podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
From NFLSpinZone.com, you find him on Twitter at Dan_Thomas, the number 28. It is Dan Thomas to talk some Steelers with us. Dan, let's start here. We didn't manage to get anyone arrested or anything crazy like that out of the Steelers and Bengals game. We know how much of a rivalry that is, but this time the two teams actually sort of stuck to what was happening on the field. Were you surprised that there weren't some temper outbursts, or was that what you expected?
You know, in this game, that's kind of what I expected, just because the NFL, I'm sure, made a point to tell both teams that that will not be happening this game. The next time around, I don't know if it's going to be the same. You know, when you get Le'Veon Bell back for the Steelers, Burfitt back for the Bengals, some tempers might flare in week 15 with playoff implications on the line.
A lot to be able to talk about, Dan, out of this game, but I want to start with Pittsburgh's defense. We know they've been in a bit of a rebuild kind of mode, trying to get themselves back to the Steelers' defense that people have been used to seeing. How do you feel they've progressed so far? And certainly, if you can hold Cincinnati to 16 points, you must be doing something right.
Yeah, I'm just amazed with how well they're playing as a unit. I mean, you look at week one against the Washington Redskins, Matt Jones was the leading rusher. And week two, Jeremy Hill was a leading rusher, but neither of those guys were able to get over 25 yards rushing. It appears that, you know, the secondary is just kind of hanging back and daring the opposing offense to put together a 12 to 15 play drive and put it in the end zone. And in the first 2 weeks, neither of those offenses were able to really do that.
Well, and I think, you know, Dan, at least from my observation, the other key to that is that they need this defense to continue to improve. Not that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and this offense aren't prolific, but occasionally you're going to have some days where, you're going to struggle a little bit and only put 24 points on the board or what have you. And this defense needs to be able to step up. I think, you know, it's possible that even for the extent of what we expect out of this offense, this defense has to continue to get better so that not all the weight is on Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders day in and day out.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, towards the end of last year, they actually played surprisingly well, even though, you know, if you look towards the regular season stats, the secondary wasn't all that great, but it seems like they're carrying over what they put together from last season into this year. And you got to be pretty excited with what you saw from the defense in the first 2 weeks. And hopefully, you know, somewhere down the line, you know, you get Bud Dupree back, possibly cornerback Sasquan Golson. So if they can avoid some injuries and get some guys back, they should get stronger as the season goes on.
When you look at the passing game with Roethlisberger, we're all obviously very familiar with what to expect and what this team expects, I guess, more than anything else, out of a guy like Antonio Brown. But when you look across the game against Cincinnati, I think the fact that Roethlisberger spread the ball out to 9 different receivers is very telling of the fact that despite the strength of Antonio Brown, Roethlisberger has faith in everybody else out on the field too.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And I mean, in week one against the Redskins, it was Eli Rogers, the undrafted free agent out of Louisville, who stepped up. In this game, Xavier Grimble, I mean, who's he? Had his first catch for a touchdown, another undrafted guy out of USC. I mean, other than Antonio Brown, they're really not playing any favorites in this offense. If you're open, if Roethlisberger is just going to get you the ball.
When you look at this team, Dan, is there anything about the offense that you're still worried about that you're going to be watching over the next few weeks saying that they need to improve on?
I mean, I've been really impressed, but I guess if there's one area you might want to be concerned about is possibly the left tackle position. It's probably the weakest position on their offensive line. And then when you couple that with Roethlisberger's injury history, you just want to make sure you keep him clean as much as you can, even though he, you know, he plays that aggressive style. He takes hits, defenders are bouncing off of him. But, you know, that's probably the biggest concern is keeping Roethlisberger clean in that pocket.
And obviously the two picks by Roethlisberger have to be a concern, you know, overall. You don't want to see those statistically. You know, on those particular plays, what did you see happen? Where was the overall breakdown when you look at it?
You know, the one that was deep up the right sideline, he was giving his guy a shot. I mean, Sammy Coates, you know, he might not be the most consistent receiver, but he is, you know, a physical specimen. So if you see a guy like him on a one-on-one matchup deep, I mean, I have no problem with Roethlisberger taking a shot deep there. It just didn't work out in their favor there. Other than that, like, I mean, three interceptions in two games isn't, you know, what you want to see out of Big Ben. But then again, he has six touchdown passes in those two games as well. So it's kind of canceling out those mistakes.
When you talk about Sammy Coates and you talk about maybe not the most consistent, but what have you seen that you like, and what and other than the inconsistency, is there anything that still has you worried about him? Obviously, they know he's got potential.
The way they're using him, it doesn't make me worry all that much because they're not really depending on him to step in and fill in that Martavis Bryant role. And it's funny because it's almost like he's a poor man's Martavis Bryant because he's a physical specimen. And, you know, you see him one-on-one and, you know, you assume he's going to come down with the ball. However, during the preseason and as you've seen for the first two games of this season, he just has some mental errors, whether he's can't hold on to the ball fumbling or he just has some easy drops. But with the way Big Ben, that offense is relying on other guys like Jesse James, Eli Rogers, hopefully when they get Marcus Wheaton back in week 3, they don't need him to carry the load. He doesn't need to step in and be that true number two wide receiver.
As you get ready for the road game now against the Eagles coming up on Sunday afternoon, Dan, what are you looking for out of this team that you haven't seen yet?
I'm just looking at them for pretty much to carry over what they've done in the first two games where they've shut down the run. The secondary is just daring the offense to put together a long drive and punch it in the end zone. You know, it's just been a remarkable performance. I mean, they've held their opposing offenses to combine for 6 field goals in 2 games. They just have that bend, don't break mentality. The one thing I would want to see is maybe more pressure on the quarterback, possibly get some more sacks. Right now, they only have 1 sack in 2 games. But, you know, other than that, you know, I've been pretty impressed.
We get a chance to catch up on the Steelers. Dan Thomas is part of NFLSpinZone.com, and you find Dan on Twitter at Dan_Thomas28. Dan, really appreciate it. Enjoy the games for week 3, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks again for having me on. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Dan Thomas with us right there. Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL. And to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert. SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score. So make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of 6 or 7 different coordinators, therefore 6 or 7 basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know if any quarterback is going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got 2 games under Carson Wentz's belt and 2 wins. Granted, 1 against Chicago, 1 against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule makers certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the two teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something. But that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. You know, they ran it better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. You know, obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, you know, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, you know, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, you know, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, you know, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, this Julian Edelman, those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable. The good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple of weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl runs. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know, and when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good. But they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense. Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, where Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards, his best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. And the fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and turn the, you know, throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that, and the fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense, Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. It's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. But the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense. Control the clock a little bit more and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and of course 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top-10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that clearly that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top-10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Vince, you know, Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out Deal Score that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, they were great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he still, you know, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, you know, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. You know, I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, or question number four, excuse me, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you've followed the question number five here, as you follow the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrelle Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrelle Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right. Final question in our six pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's coach of the year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsshow.com.